Mark chapter 14 verses 43 to 52. This is the reading of God's word. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures." And they all left him and fled. A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. And they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that as we hear your word, our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us forever. Bless us that your word may be preached correctly. All of us will hear it, believe it, and obey it. We thank you. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Mark, through his gospel, shows us that our salvation is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and only by him. Mark also shows, through always failing disciples, the complete inability of the sinners who are fallen in sin. My question to you as we start this: how do you need Jesus Christ? Do you feel that he is someone who helps you, but that you are in the center of all actions? You just need his help sometimes. Or do you know that without him, you are not able to do anything that is good? Jesus told us in John chapter 15, verse 5b, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus Christ, there is only eternal death for us. You and I cannot even imagine a life without Jesus Christ anymore. We live our lives desperately depending upon him. When it comes to the Christianity, Jesus Christ is absolute. He is all. You and I sin every single day, every single moment. We make firm determinations and firm promises, but we fail again and again, and we sin. You and I, we must hold on to our Lord Jesus Christ. And even holding on to him is enabled by God's grace. We depend on him. And only because of him, there is no more despair, no more hopelessness. Now hope. The hope of heaven. We live with that hope. We live by faith. And all this becomes clear as we read Mark chapter 14. Only Jesus Christ is living the life of the true disciples of God. He is the only one who is awake to pray to God. Only Jesus Christ is denying himself and taking up his cross. You and I, we must believe in him. And our faith unites us to him. And only by faith we are able to participate in his life of the true disciples. To follow him is to believe him and depend on him. By faith, we participate in his perfect obedience to the Father. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus is being captured to be crucified. And we begin looking at this chapter in verse 43. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." Do you see it here? These people came with an elaborate plan to capture Jesus. Mark tells us that the high priest and the scribes and the elders plotted to capture and kill Jesus Christ for some time now. And in this chapter, we will see Jesus, he will be captured and tried by the high priest, King Herod, and Pontius Pilate. But we must never forget that all this is exactly according to God's plan. He is not being captured even though he does not want to. No, he is giving himself to be captured. He is not being captured because he is helpless and weak. If you go and read John chapter 18, verse 4 through 6, so Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Who do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with him. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. You could see the force of him saying, "I am he," and everybody fell. You see, Jesus is completely in control even as he is being captured. The sinners do not know who Jesus is. They bring swords and clubs to capture who could destroy the whole universe with a command. In the book of John, they also brought lanterns and torches and weapons. They bring lanterns and torches to capture who is the true light of the world. It is a comical sight. The sinners are sinners who are fallen in sin. They come to capture their Creator. Nobody just does not know what they're doing. But this is God's will. Exactly according to God's plan. Judas Iscariot sells God over to the sinners. Verse 45 and 46. After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, Rabbi, and kissed him. They laid hands on him and seized him. We see here a sinner who sells God for 30 pieces of silver. Verse 47, but one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. According to John, this person who drew his sword is Peter. According to Luke, the disciples asked Jesus at this moment, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? The disciples do not understand yet. The king who came to establish the kingdom, why is he being captured? They ask. Because his kingdom is not of the world, not of this world. The kingdom that he came to establish cannot be established with worldly force of arms or military might. Jesus says in John chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world. According to Luke chapter 22, our Lord says, New King James Version, permit even this. And Jesus touched the slave's ear and healed him. Verse 48, and Jesus said to them, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching and you did not seize me. But this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures. Our God, our Lord, is treated as a robber. But again, all this is to fulfill the scriptures. All is according to God's plan. To save criminals like you and me. Our God is being treated as a criminal. But this is the principle. Our sins are imputed to our Lord Jesus Christ that He is considered as a sinner on the cross. And His righteousness is imputed to us that we are considered as righteous to God. Jesus is being captured. No, I should not say like that. Truth is, Jesus gives himself to be captured. But what do his disciples do? Verse 50, and they all left him and fled. And those of you who say, man, those disciples, I will never do that. You need to think again. They all left him and fled. His disciples who were sleeping when Jesus was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, the same disciples, now, as their master is being captured, they left him and they fled. A picture of the cowardly sinners. You and I. But even his disciples fleeing is according to God's plan. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7b, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And Jesus betraying, Judas betraying Jesus, even that is according to scripture. Psalm 41 verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus being surrounded by the soldiers. Psalm 22 verse 11 and 12, but not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. You see, Jesus knew all these things would happen to him. And yet he came. He came to die for you and for me. He came to save us from sin and from this world. He came to save us, so he gladly went through all these sufferings and even death on the cross for us. Now in Matthew 26, Jesus says to Peter who drew his sword, Matthew 26, verse 53, or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled which says that it must happen this way? It wasn't hopeless, helpless Jesus just being captured by these mighty soldiers. It was a willing Jesus, willing to die, willing to do all these things just as God has prophesied in the Old Testament. See, the true kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish, in order for it to be accomplished, the sins of the citizen must be taken care of. Jesus came to do exactly that. He must be captured, and bearing our sins, he must die on the cross. Mark 14 verse 51 and 52, a young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. And they seized him, but he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. There are many views on this young man, but traditionally we say that he is Mark, who wrote the book of Mark that we're looking at today, but no one is able to be absolutely sure about this. Perhaps he was sleeping but had to escape in such a hurry that he came out wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. But look at just the picture this. He lost even that linen and he had to escape naked. Mark, through his gospel, shows us how everyone left Jesus and fled. A pitiful and pathetic picture of ourselves, the sinners. In Mark chapter 14, we see at least four pathetic pictures of the sinners. First, through disciples. Complete apathy, completely lack of interest at the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying to the Father. They're just sleeping. And we see in chapter 14, Peter's denial. He denies Jesus three times. And we see Judas Iscariot's betrayal. And four, again, disciples are fleeing Jesus. Look at these pictures. not interested in affairs of Jesus, betraying Jesus, denying Jesus, fleeing Jesus. That's the picture. Those of you who think you might do any better than this, again, you need to think again. You don't even realize how many times you deny Jesus in your regular life. Here and there, you deny Him, you betray Him. Every time you sin, what do you think that is? This is all sinners could do. But in chapter 14, we do not just see Judas or Peter or disciples. We see our Lord Jesus Christ alone, all by Himself, accomplishing our salvation. And we are ashamed and embarrassed. Can you confidently say that you will not be like Peter or Judas or disciples? And what hope do you think these sinners have? If we teach them well, then do you think that these sinners will be better? Is teaching the solution? Well, the world thinks that that's the solution we teach. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, when you sin, is it because you did not know that what you're doing is sin? Is it because no one taught you that that was sin? Is that why you sin? Or you know exactly that what you're doing is sin? That you have already learned that it is sin, and yet you still sin. So if I just teach you that that is bad, don't do it, then you will stop sinning? What hope do we have? Your determination? Your effort? Is that the solution? That you hear this sermon and you go, oh yeah, 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 I'm sorry, I did not try my best. But Father, I will try my best. As if you trying your best is solution. You will fail. That's not the solution. We know exactly that we are sinning when we sin, and yet we sin it anyway. What hope do we have? And we all know it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our only hope. That our focus must be on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful one. He is a trustable one. He is the only one who has obeyed God perfectly. Jesus never betrayed the Father. Jesus never denied the Father. Jesus never fled from the Father. He faithfully accomplished everything that the Father has given Him to do. We must believe in Him. We must believe so that we could be united to Him. Thus, we are able to participate in His perfect life. His perfect life of perfect obedience. And the good news is His perfect obedience is our perfect obedience. It's as if I never betrayed my God. As if I never denied my God. As if I never flee from situation that will prove they were so scared and would not trust God. We must believe. And any little obedience from us, that obedience must flow out from that faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, you and I, we deny, we betray, we flee from Him, but He will never leave us or forsake us. Even when we flee, betray, and deny, time after time after time, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. That's our hope. Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Jesus says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. This is the gospel. You and I, we are ever denying, ever betraying, ever fleeing sinners, but our Lord Jesus Christ has bore our sins and died on that cross for us, shedding His precious blood for us. God has cleansed all our sins with that precious blood. And for our justification, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He also lived a perfect righteous life for us. He gave us faith to believe in Him. Believe all that He has done and accomplished for us. And through that faith, He has forgiven all our sins. And through that faith, God has justified us, called us righteous in His sight. And God has promised that He will not even remember our sins. The blood that Jesus has shed for us on the cross, with it, God has even cleansed our consciences so that we may serve Him with clear consciences. Even though all we do is sin, we are able with clear conscience serve our God and worship our God without fear. In Christ Jesus, we are saved and all our sins have been completely cleansed. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, little obedience that you would do, I pray that that obedience will come out of your gratefulness toward God for what He has done for you. That love that He has shown, that love will dominate you. It will compel you to obey. Not because you just decided to obey, that you have promised to do your best. No. Because we know how that all will turn out. But that you were moved by His love. You were moved by the gospel. And that love will compel you to obey. Even though you understand you're not going to obey Him perfectly, but you will do your best
Because that love, it just dominates you. The love will drive you. Even repentance, true repentance is God's grace. Without His grace, we cannot even repent. Well, we regret. We might do that. Oh, because we're such a good people. We might regret. But not truly repent. Let me end with this. We have one who betrayed God. Judas. And we have the other who denied God three times. Peter. Judas, he could not repent. He regretted what he has done, but the grace was not given to him to truly repent. Thus he killed himself. But Peter, who has denied Jesus three times, on third time, he even denied Jesus with an oath. But grace of God was given to Peter. And by that grace, Peter repents of his sins. The Holy Spirit worked in him. His sins are forgiven and God restores him. It is not about who did worse or who did better. If you compare what Judas has done and Peter has done, I don't see any difference. So it's not about who did better or who did worse, but God who pours out His grace to His people. All deserve. Peter deserves eternal hell. Judas deserves eternal hell. All of us deserve eternal hell. But God pours out His grace upon His people. Again, the issue is not about who did better that God has received him, nor who did worse that God has rejected him. If we do any better, then it is God's grace. It is because God has received us. If His grace is not upon the person, then nothing would matter. That person will not do anything by faith. No one is any better than other person. All deserve to go to hell. Difference is we admit it. Difference is we know it, that we deserve to go to hell. Man, if you start thinking in your head, in your mind, if you even come close to, oh, I'm better than that person, and I don't care who that person might be, that you think you're better than that person, apart from Christ. Be very careful. Because you are starting to think in a wrong way. I'm not better than anybody out there. You're not better than me. We all deserve to go to hell. I mean, what's the point when we all go to hell and says, oh, I live better life than you. Oh, I did this better than you. What is all that? We all deserve eternal judgment of God. But difference is God loves us. He pours out His grace. And this is what we need to be very, very careful. Start thinking that I'm better than that person. I did better in this or that, better than that person. Well, at least I will not do that, you might say. Really? If God lets you go, and He will not pour out His grace upon you, what kind of sinner do you think you're going to be? A good sinner? Without God, there's nothing you will not do. Nothing you cannot do. All those things that is so filthy that you will not do it, you will do it. This is what Bible tells us, how we are. So don't even think, sitting there, well, at least I will not do that. If you are not doing it, that's God's grace. Man, you gotta get rid of this in your head and in your heart, thinking that you are any better than other people. That you need to really realize how filthy sinner you are. That how you deserve every bit of that eternal judgment of God that He will pour out to this world. Our hope is Jesus Christ. He's the only hope we have. If His grace is being poured upon us, then we will be like Christ. And His grace is upon you. Just the fact that you're sitting there, worshiping Him, loving Him, which means His grace is upon you. That's your confidence. No, I'm not asking you to determine at this time that you will not sin again or you do this. No, I want you right now to look to Jesus and just hold on to Him as God enables you to hold on to Him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you who are saints in Jesus Christ, let us repent of our sins and let us truly believe in Jesus Christ and depend on Him and Him alone and be confident that He who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's your hope. That no matter how you look at yourself and how many times you're discouraged and disappointed, He who began a good work in you will perfect it. You will be like Christ. That's God's promise. That is why we never get despair. Because, man, without Christ, how can you not be just go crazy? How just filthy things that you even think about. Even our Lord is praying for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 32b, hear what your Lord says. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Oh, He says that to Peter, but He's also saying it to you.
So brothers and sisters, we live by faith in Jesus Christ who is praying for us now and until we see Him face to face. Brothers, we live by faith. We live with hope. Let nobody say otherwise. Not even yourself. You will be like Christ. Because it's His work. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. It is abundant grace, amazing grace. Oh Father, there's no adjectives in this world to describe how truly amazing Your grace really is. We thank You. And we have confidence in You, in Your work in us. Even now working to make us like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank You and we truly love You, even though our lives so many times do not show that we love You. But we love You because You have loved us first. We love You because You are working in us to make us love You more and more. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.